Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and what a blessing it is that you're listening. What a blessing it is that I get so many emails each week from the listeners out there. I want to let you know that we're praying for you, and all the prayer concerns that come in are prayed for by our prayer team, and we're praying. If you need a Bible, I always say this every week, we would love to put the Word of God in your hands. Just email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, and we'll send you a Bible. We've been doing a series on the parables, and we're going to pick back up in Matthew chapter 13. But, I would be remiss to say this is Valentine's weekend. So happy Valentine's to all of you. Men, I hope you didn't miss the signs all over the city. Here's a true story. A businessman moved over slightly as a young man crowded into the airplane seat next to him, and they both fastened their seatbelts, and the businessman good-naturedly inquired as to whether the young man was traveling on business or pleasure. Pleasure, the young man replied. I'm on my honeymoon. Your honeymoon? The businessman asked, mystified. Where's your wife? Oh, she's a few rows back. The plane was full, so we couldn't get seats together. The plane hadn't started rolling yet, so the businessman said, I'd be happy to change seats with her so that the two of you can be together. Well, that's okay, the young man replied. I'll see her all week. Well, don't miss that. I mean, come on. If you have a loved one, don't sit in another seat. Enjoy the love that God has given you. So I would say happy Valentine's Day to all of you. But really, Valentine's Day is the love of God that comes every day. And don't miss the love that God has for you. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. We have been talking about the kingdom of heaven for several weeks. Have you ever thought about what the kingdom of heaven would look like? For the past few weeks, we've been looking into what Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven. Remember, Jesus lived there in heaven. Yes, Jesus came from heaven to earth. Before coming to earth, he lived in heaven. So he tells them what the kingdom of heaven is like. He knows full well what the fullness of faith looks like. He knows full well the glory of God. He knows the fullness of God's love. He knows the fullness of God's grace. He knows the fullness of God's peace, the mercy and joy, all found in the Father's house in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 1 and 2, Jesus is born. Matthew 3, he's baptized. Matthew 4, he's tempted in the desert, and his ministry has begun. Fishermen become followers. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, a crowd in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 8 through 12, miracles. Jesus demonstrates the kingdom of heaven by performing miracle after miracle. We talked about the sick being healed, the lepers being cleansed, the blind given sight, the deaf hearing, and even the dead walking. And we come up to Matthew chapter 13, and we've spent at least 4 weeks right here in Matthew 13. 4 weeks in one chapter. And we're talking about the parables. If you haven't had a chance, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, click on sermons, and listen to some of the messages through the radio program. Here in chapter 13, we find Jesus sitting with his followers, trying to draw them a parable is like a word picture, so he's drawing a word picture that they can relate to and begin to see and understand for themselves. He wants them to know the height and the depth and the length and the width of the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine living in an exotic paradise and then trying to describe it? That's what Jesus is doing. He's using parables. He's throwing down a word picture to help us catch a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is like. We have learned that the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who went out to sow his seed, and the seed falls on four kinds of soil. We have been challenged to think that there is one sower, one seed, and one good soil that will produce a crop, 160 and 30-fold. We've pictured what condition our condition is in, the soil of our hearts. We have been confronted with a word picture of the weeds, W-E-E-D-S, weeds. Maybe you have weeds growing in your yard. We've looked at the weeds that are among the wheat, and we know that the angels who do the harvesting will know the difference between the counterfeits and the real deal. My prayer is that you'll be the real deal. Last week, we heard that from small beginnings come great results. Do we have that tiny mustard seed of faith that can move mountains? Last week, I asked you to do some California dreaming. What is the dream that God has put on your heart? Remember to write down your dream. It's a beginning, really, of a new year. You have a clean slate. What is the dream that God has for you in 2020? Over the next few weeks, we'll share our dreams as we look at the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. Today, we turn our attention to the next parable, the next word picture of how a little yeast can transform a whole batch of dough. Let us turn to God's word for us today. Before we do, let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we want to have visions and dreams. Speak to our hearts. Let us know that with the fullness of faith, even in small beginnings come great results. May God's love be manifest in and through your word today. May we truly become transformed by the living word. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 13, 33 through 34. Not a long passage. It's two verses. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things since the creation of the world. In a book called On This Day by Carl D. Windsor, there is a page for Valentine's Day, which includes the antidote. Even the most devoted couple will experience a stormy about once in a while. A grandmother celebrating her golden wedding anniversary once told the secret of her long and happy marriage. On my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 of my husband's faults, which, for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook, she said. A guest asked the woman what some of the faults she had chosen to overlook were. Now, they'd been married 50 years. She wrote this down on her wedding day. The grandmother replied, "To tell you the truth, my dear, I never did get around to listing them, but whenever my husband did something that made me hoppin' mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. I think this parable of the yeast working through the whole dough is one of Jesus's top 10 parables, if you were to look at parables. In many ways, the little story of the grandmother passing down her wisdom on marriage reflects the wisdom of this parable. I believe that the parable teaches us that our lives can be affected by many positive and negative experiences. These experiences can infect or permeate our lives for good or for evil. There has been some debate among the scholars as to what the yeast or the leaven represents, depending on your translation. Some scholars say that the yeast represents evil, since most of the references in the Bible reflect yeast as something that is evil. This line of thinking follows the precept that Scripture does not contradict Scripture, so therefore the yeast that Jesus mentions here is a kind of evil that will prevail and permeate all of society. This is one way to interpret the passage. However, in the context of this teaching, I would disagree. I believe that Jesus is specifically saying that the kingdom of heaven, the most positive of all influences imaginable, is like leaven or like yeast that will expand and transform our lives here on planet Earth. Jesus had just finished sharing that the kingdom of heaven is like a small mustard seed that grows and grows and grows into a large tree that will provide protection, shelter, and security for those under its care. I believe that Jesus is using the same line of thinking in using the word picture of a woman who took and mixed a small amount of yeast into her large batch of flour. 50 loaves worth. That's really what the in the context of this. She takes a little amount of yeast and she's going to make 50 loaves of bread. Jesus is using a word picture that they would understand. These people who are gathered to listen understood what it takes to sow seed in their country. They understood the challenges of having weeds grow up among their wheat. I grew up in farm country in Illinois. And watching the corn and the beans and then, you know, cultivating and pulling weeds. They understood that. I understand that. Maybe you understand what weeds among the wheat are like. They understood what a mustard seed looks like and what is capable of growing into. Now he turns their attention to a woman and a batch of dough. I find it very encouraging that Jesus used a word picture of a woman. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And if you have a prayer concern, email, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on prayer concerns and write it down. You can email me at Pastor Dave. I'd be glad to put your prayer concern out. If you're listening, you can always email me and I'll respond. I think it's really exciting that Jesus uses a word picture for a woman. Jesus was one of the very few rabbis who included women in his ministry. There were men and women surrounding him in the crowd, and Jesus is using a few parables, word pictures, that they would understand. Now he throws down, that's what a parable is, to throw down alongside. He throws down a word picture that the woman would fully understand. All the women there, they would understand this parable. Making, kneading, and baking bread, well, it was a common, ordinary task performed daily. Here's an interesting note that I gleaned from my study this week. When a young girl married, her mother sent along with her daughter a batch of the household dough. It was a tradition that every mother passed on to her daughter, and this batch of dough would last the daughter's whole life long. And then she would pass the dough on to her daughters. Have you ever received friendship bread? It's the same word picture. You add a little of this and a little of that, and then you share the dough with everyone you know. Every Sunday after church, my wife asks me, "How'd you do?" I have to tell her that I am my worst critic. I usually tell her that she's asking the wrong person. Then she asks, "Well, did you smile? Were you funny? Did you crack a few jokes?" She always tells me, "You know, you're way too serious." I try to tell her that delivering God's word and message is a very serious situation for me. And then she says, "Oh, Dave, lighten up." Well, you're going to have to chance to laugh. I'm going to share a story of one of the dumbest things I've ever done. I know it's going to be embarrassing for me to share it on the radio, but you have to know me. I usually am a really calm, laid back, easygoing guy. I don't get ruffled very easily, but this week a negative situation really infected my life like bad yeast, like salmonella or E. coli. Another thing you need to know about me, I make friends with everyone I meet. I love to learn names so that I can call people by name. I believe that it's important to call people by their names and acknowledge them for who they are. It doesn't matter whether a person is a store clerk, a waiter, a waitress, a fast food server, teacher, a student, president, or janitor. People are not known by what they do. They're known by who they are. And the best way to get to know someone is to call them by name. Our mailman in Illinois, well, his name was Bubba. Our mailman in Upland, when I lived in Upland, his name was Carlos. Our mailman in Texas was Jody. Our mailman here is Mike. Mike the mailman. And here is where the story begins. Somehow, in the day-to-day life of the Collins and Peters family, because we lived together, our daughter and her husband and three children, we bought a house. That was the only way we could afford a house. We bought a house together. We lost our mail key. we lost our mail key, and we have one of those community mailboxes, and with the key nowhere inside, I have to time Mike the mailman's delivery hours. Maybe you have one of those community mailboxes and you see the mailman pull up. Well, I had to time Mike the mailman's delivery hours, and let me tell you, he delivers our mail somewhere between 10:30 and 1:30. So if I'm really worried about the mail, I'm running, you know, from the house to the mailbox every 15 minutes. And about a week ago, Mike the mailman said to me, why don't you just go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get a replacement lock and put it in yourself and save $50? Wow, what a radical idea. I never even thought about it. We talked about it at home and decided that it might not be legal. So I asked my friend, who is a postmaster, if that was something I could do. And he said, sure, it's not U.S. government property. It's like changing your mailbox in front of your house. So I went off to the hardware store and bought what I thought would work. Between our busy schedules of preschool and other ministry, you know, I'm taking my grandchildren preschool and other ministry commitments, I had to find just the right timing to get this done. Finally, it happened. Mike is there, and I have the new mailbox lock and keys ready. Mike tells me that in order to get the old lock out, you have to break the old clasp out that holds it on the inside. In other words, bust it. With my recent negative experiences, I had in the right mood to chuck the lock. Mike and I got to talking about the Super Bowl, and I break the lock out, and only a few realized that my replacement lock is the wrong size. He says he's going to head out, but he'll leave the box open for me to finish my job. Well, so far, so good. I go to Lowe's and buy a new lock that will fit. And on my way to the hardware store, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and mind. You broke off the wrong box. Yes, friends, I walked up to the mailbox center with the new lock in tow, and I could see very clearly that I'd broken off number 139 instead of 144. I installed the new lock firmly in place and went home to tell my wife, Jack, what I'd done. And I waited. I waited to be able to tell her and watch her face. And she said, well, did you fix the locks? I smiled and I said, yeah, I sure did. Number 139 now has a brand new lock on their mailbox. She looked at me and said, you mean 144? And I said, no, 139. She looked at me puzzled and started to laugh. Let me tell you, I don't do dumb things very often. At least I don't think I do. But boy, was this was a doozy. Jack was beginning to realize that this was her moment in time. Well, she said, I wonder who the lucky people are that just got a new mailbox lock. I wonder if they're going to need a new key to get into their mail. And then she said, are you joking me? Or is this one of the greatest days of my life? I said, nope, not joking, my wife. I said, not joking at all. I fixed the mailbox next to our mailbox. My wife, Jack, said, you mean you busted, broke, destroyed the wrong mailbox lock? She said to me, I'm never going to be able to live this down. She looked at me. She was laughing so hard that she had tears streaming down her face. And she said, I knew it. Remember how I've been asking and asking you if you're okay from the other night that you kept saying, I'm fine, I'm fine. Remember, well, guess what? You aren't fine. Luckily, I had to leave at that moment to go pick up our grandson from school. I was just about to the streetlight when she texted me, Yahoo, I wish I could stop laughing, is what her text said. And I texted her back, stop in the name of love. So what? I shared a personal story. Really, if you know me, if you get to know me, I am pretty serious sometimes. And in fact, my wife asked me to be funny, but this was one of the dumbest things I've ever done. Earlier this week, I allowed myself to be deeply affected by someone's negativity. Have you ever done that? I allowed this negativity to fester and ferment like bad bacteria, like yeast. Have you ever allowed a negative experience or a difficult circumstance to permeate, saturate, or infiltrate your heart, mind, and character? I had allowed a negative experience in a difficult situation to transform my thinking without being aware of it. It had seeped into my heart and my spirit like bad yeast, E. coli, salmonella, or a bad flu virus. I know that's probably never happened to you, has it? Or has it? Has it happened to you? Have you allowed certain life experiences or circumstances or people to affect and transform your life? This can happen with negative experiences and difficult circumstances. It can happen with positive ones too. Are you the type that keeps a list of all the wrongs and looks at them all the time to see where you've been hurt? I'm being serious here. I'm not trying to be funny. Are you keeping a list of all the wrongs that, well, that people have done to you? Wow. Do you allow the hurts and the pains of life to permeate your life like bad yeast? Or do you allow the love to cover all sin as the scriptures teach? Did you know that the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins? Love covers a multitude of sins. Listen, maybe you sinned against someone. You can ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness takes one person. That's you. Reconciliation takes two. Love covers a multitude of sins. Speaking of love, Valentine's weekend. Valentine's weekend. I love it when I get to live the sermon, but I really love it when a big holiday and the messages are right around the corner. You've Got Mail is not just an old movie. I was trying to get into my mailbox ready for all the Valentines I'm going to get. Here's the so what. Valentine's Day is the one day we set apart nationally to tell others that we love them. But shouldn't Valentine's Day be every day? Wouldn't it be nice if we took the opportunity every day to share our love with others? Scripture has a lot to say about love. Just the word love is used 313 times, almost one for each day. There are passages like God is love in 1 John 4:8. Perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. See what love the Father has that we should be called the children of God, 1 John 3:1. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. But no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. 1 John 4:11 and 12. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him would never perish. John 3:16. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Galatians 5:22, 23. But the granddaddy of all the love passages, I think, is found in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Wow. So what? Here's your so what. Pick up your Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And where it says love, put your name in there. I encourage you to write these passages down. If you want these passages, I'll send them to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let love permeate our lives each and every day, not the hurts and the pains and the regrets, but let your love permeate our lives so that we can share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.